The text for our message this morning is taken from three places. First of all, it's Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to verse 27. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Next is Luke chapter 5. Verse 4 to 9. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 9. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And the third reference is the Gospel of John, chapter 21, 15 to 17. John 21, 15 to 17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him, The third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. The Lord add his blessings to the reading of his secret word. Today my topic is the progression of Peter's faith. First of all, we read of a great storm in the Sea of Galilee. It's called a sea, but actually it is a fresh water lake. It's the biggest reservoir in the world, I think, because it's such a great depth of water. 13 miles long and 6 miles wide, in the shape, more or less, of a harp. In all our 10 pilgrimages to the Holy Land, we have sailed on the Sea of Galilee. Every time we had a very smooth crossing. And you won't expect that it can be so rough as has been recorded in Matthew chapter 8, which we read, that the water, the waves beat into the ship that it was full. And the Gospel of St. Mark says the same thing. If your little boat, of course a fishing boat is much bigger, and the water comes to the brink of the hull, you know the next thing it will just submerge. In 1 minute, the whole boat will be lost. And Jesus was sleeping soundly on a pillow at the back of the ship. So all the disciples desperately woke him up, "Lord, shore him up quickly. We perish." And Jesus said, "How is it you have so little faith?" But that is our condition, every one of us. And we know that the Lord is with us, and yet we panic. Jesus did not so much chide them, but it is the words of a loving father, like telling the children, "You are so afraid, I'm here." And so, unless you read this account, we never know that such a lake would have such a strong wind, storm, and tempest. We, in our 10 pilgrimages, once experienced this. We arrive at the hotel, there is perched over the lake, we can see the lake in the afternoon, but by the time we arrived, a strong wind was blowing. And some of these little boats were dashed against the shore because the next day we saw some wreckage. Then we said to ourselves, "We are together with those disciples and we will really be crying for help." That is a true picture of what happens. Now this is an account of the disciples, and then they spoke together, they marveled. "What man is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him." I believe these words were spoken particularly by Peter, the spokesman. He always is the number one to say something. He realizes from his inexperienced faith, never knowing the power of the Lord, that truly he is the Son of God. He is truly the Son of the living God, and he is the Lord that governs heaven and earth. I hope today we may all progress from our inexperienced faith through the testimony of these disciples. But there are many other storms in life. And we experienced these storms, particularly during the Japanese occupation. This was a storm under the shelling of the Japanese, which was even more traumatic than the landing of a bomb, because it would be more sparsely. In the final stages of the war, they were shelling all the time, and the shells were dropping all around. I refer to an experience that my uncle very graciously bought a house, an attap house, inside Ahud Road, the Toa Payoh region, which was a rather unused rubber estate and farm. And he built a sandbag shelter with a little hole we all have to crawl in. And when the shells are coming down thick and fast, we all crawl into that sandbag shelter, and you could not almost breathe because the whole family, two or three families, all crowded in. But my grandfather, he refused to go in. He had a bed tucked in the open corner of the attap house, and he said, "You people trust in sand, I trust in the Lord." So he kept to his bed, and while we were all crying and praying to the Lord, "Have mercy, have mercy," all the shells are landing around. He prayed unperturbed. Here was our inexperienced faith, and there was his experienced faith, because we heard from his mouth many times what God had done in saving his life while in China. Having been saved many times out of danger, he had no fear. The fact was that during the shelling of Toa Payoh, and our house was there, two of my uncle's friends who burrowed into a shelter dug out on a slope of a hill, they received a direct hit, and two persons were quite seriously injured. And my father did all the first aid because he was a doctor, and they were sent to hospital, which were not seen anymore. That is the storm through which we passed and through which we gained experience, and later on we were strengthened. Oh yes. It is not our shelter that saved us. It's a hand of God guiding the shells so that they did not land on us. Now, I'm not saying that the non-Christian friends of my uncle, they were in a lesser category, but that was how it turned out. Yet, he went to prove one thing: the Lord guided the shells so that they did not land on our house, and my grandfather was right. Have you undergone such traumatic experience? And have you learned them, if you had? I had another experience, and this was truly an experience with the disciples. And that was when I was sailing to America in the year 1947 to go to seminary, when in the Atlantic, a storm suddenly caught us. It's really scary to see how, when the ship is pitching and rolling, the bow is so high, and yet you'll go down and the sea would cover and run over the bow, and you'll come up again, and down and up. Part of the ship diving into the ocean. But the sailors had the bow of the ship hermetically sealed, that no water could go in. And I hung on my bunk bed, clinging to the rail, and when the ship alarmingly pitched and rolled, if I did not do so, I would be spilled all over. And I saw myself crying with the disciples, "O Lord, save me! O Lord, save us!" And this went on for several days. After that traumatic experience, surely it must have improved in our faith in God. For He has heard our prayers and He has saved us. The next thing I would like you to take note is Peter going out, launching his ship into the deep. The Lord wanted to bless him and to teach him a lesson because he borrowed his boat as a pulpit to preach to the people standing on the shore. And after the sermon, he said, "Launch out into the deep." Peter said, "We have been toiling all night and we caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will do it." There's a tinge of doubt in his mind. "We fish all night and we caught nothing, and now in the daytime, it'll be less likely for us to catch any fish." Peter could have argued from his experience. "I am a PhD in fishing." He's a doctor of fishing. "Nevertheless, at thy word, because Jesus is his Lord, he will do it." And how astounded he was that they drew in 2 boatloads of fish, so much so that their net break. How much would these 2 boatloads of fish cost? I say, by today's calculation, maybe $2,000 or $3,000 at least. So at one launching, he earned a full year's pay. And he was so overwhelmed by the love of the Master in helping him that he knelt down and worshipped him and said, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. I am not worthy to be your disciple." Revealing his half-doubting, half-believing. And that is also with us. Many times, when the Lord tells us to do something, we might have in our heart that doubtingness. According to experience, you don't get anything. But according to the Word of God, anything, everything is possible. And so, Peter knelt down to worship him and say, I have been so unfaithful and sinful. But he was overwhelmed and he would now give praise and thanks. By way of application, many times our weekly on the back page, and this is all the time, for which I thank God for our members. They would praise the Lord and thank the Lord, "I give my salary to him because he has given me a double promotion and a special bonus, and this is my return thanks to him." Or it may be through some terrible experience we have gone through. For example, being saved in a motor car accident. And I have a young lady who witnessed for me how she bought a new car. But in a few days, she met with an accident and the car was totally wrecked. But she got out without a scratch. And she would give thanks unto the Lord. In this case, she gave me a blank check and said, you write down how much I should give. Two times blank checks were given to me. You write down how much I should give to the Lord. Well, I said to myself, if I take advantage of him, I write down 10,000. If I write 2,000, he said, my life is too cheap. So I wrote down 5,000. And she said exactly what I wanted to give. I said, well, great minds think alike. We have such wonderful testimonies in the church. Or in another case, I've been operated on for cancer. And it has been successful. One lady was operated on by one of our doctors here. Had a reprieve of 2 years. No trouble for 2 years. Until it relapsed, and yet she did not suffer any pain. And she was very grateful. Such testimonies go to show, as in the case of Peter, wasn't he grateful for what the Lord has done to him? I have learned this lesson also while studying in the States. And you are cast upon the Lord. The people at home don't help you. They say you go to the States, a rich country, you must be all right. But there you have to sing or swim to make ends meet. When the Lord opened many odd jobs for me to do, particularly at the time when you are very low in finance, then you realize the Lord knows your needs. And sometimes He causes Christians who can sense that you have a need and they help you through these experiences. Like the Lord blessing Peter to launch out into the deep end. He received such a blessing. I have also learned this. And from that time to this day, I trusted the Lord knowing that He will supply all my needs. Now, He helps a person who is given to full-time service. He will do the same to you, whether you are in full-time or part-time, or just an ordinary member of the pew, but He knows all your needs. The important thing is not to become covetous. And you try to make more money than you should, but it is not the right way. There is always the danger when you do it speculatively. You can never tell. The CPF made a report to say all those who withdrew their CPF money to try to invest here or there, practically all lost out. But by putting their money in the CPF, they would have maintained a good income. That shows whether you are trusting the Lord or not. But if we trust the Lord, He knows our needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. So from inexperienced faith, we progress to experienced faith. Having gone through the experience like my grandfather, having been saved many times out of danger, when the storm of war was on, he could enjoy a good airy sleep on his bed in the open corner of the house. But those of us who are scared, we burrow into the sandbag shelter. And then you can hardly breathe. And in the end, both of us, grandfather and grandchildren, we all were on the same boat of salvation. Now we come to Peter's third part, and that is, he went fishing again. This was after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went along with his six friends to do what? To catch fish, to feed their families, I believe. And again, they caught nothing. Then Jesus appeared on the shore, and he asked them, "Children, have you caught any fish?" They said, "None." And it was a very cold morning, especially it is the time of the resurrection, the month of April is still very cold. They must be shivering. They had nothing to eat. But the Lord came again to show his loving kindness as a loving father to help them out in their livelihood. So Jesus told them, "Cast your net on the right side of the ship." The trouble was they were casting their net on the wrong side of the ship. Now it's on the right side. And then they pulled in 150 big fishes. And they were amazed. Not only that, Jesus also prepared a hot meal for them. They had nothing to eat the whole night. Fish and bread steaming hot. And then they realized it was the Lord. Therefore, after the whole episode of bringing the great fishes, Jesus tested Peter. "Do you love me more than all these fish that you have caught?" He said yes 3 times. "Then feed my lambs and feed my sheep." By now, Peter would have no need of any more experience. From inexperienced faith to experienced faith, he has attained to such a faith that it needs no more experience, because it's the second time that Jesus helped him to get a good catch when he could do nothing. This so overwhelmed him by Jesus' love that Peter must have vowed in his heart, "Now I'm willing to die even for Christ. I will do anything for him." Another person like Peter is the Apostle Paul. He also served the Lord to the best of his ability. And finally, he was martyred in Rome together with Peter. Having been so much blessed by the Lord, we should be very willing to say, "Lord, whatever you want, I'll do for you." Though we are very weak in our own flesh, but you have received much grace from the Lord, you will return much to him. It's interesting that Jesus said, "Feed my lambs and feed my sheep." He did not say, "Go into all the world and be an evangelist." In fact, this is a very basic need of the church, is to have pastors. Despite our training from the FEBC, we are all the time short of pastors. Of course, only those that are good students and well prepared and chosen, they will fill in the job of the pastor. But there are those who are cut for a lesser job, or there are those who are never called, so they go back into the world. But today I would like to appeal to our young people here who have been studying in the FEBC and they are graduating. Don't run away from the Lord's call. God has a great need of you, and He'll supply all your needs, like supplying Peter, not only once but twice. Where are our pastors? There is such a great need everywhere. And the Lord is saying the same to us. And not only He says this, you must be faithful unto death. Jesus prophesied it to Peter. He was asking, how about John? Jesus said, don't worry about another person. You listen to me. When they are young, you can go anywhere you like. When they are old, predicting, prophesying what he must do. When he has finished his ministry, he must still die for Jesus Christ as a good witness for him. Unless we have such people, they are willing to go even to death, we will not have the good pastors. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In the Gospel of Luke, take up his cross daily and follow me. What we need are men who are so given to the Lord that we will have a good leadership in the church. And thank God for Peter, he supplied that leadership. And thank God for Paul. Will there be any young people here? Young men, even young women, who has heard the call, as Peter has heard the call, and he yielded to it. In this lesson for us today, nevertheless, we have the progression of Peter's faith from inexperienced faith to experienced faith, and from experienced faith to a faith that needs no more experience, because twice Jesus has confirmed it on him. As we come here from week to week, may our faith also consolidate itself and be built up. For unless we have faith, we will never please God. Let us pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for the many lessons that Peter has learned, and You have been so patient to help him out once, twice, and three times. We pray today especially that some young person will answer the call to come into Your vineyard as the FEBC graduation is nearing, and those that are graduating will answer Your call and fill the gap that is before us. Bless the children here each week. As we receive Thy word, we may be built up in a most holy faith. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.